WBSM presents Brian's Beat with Brian Thomas, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, Brian Thomas.
You know, I can't get over the fact that a week ago today was Thanksgiving. Now, if that's twisting your brain just a little bit, 4 weeks from today is trick-or-treat. No, not trick-or-treat. It's ho-ho-ho. It's one of those days. These holidays, they come and they go. So let's see. Today is the 4th. So 3 weeks is Christmas. 4 weeks is New Year's Day. Phew. Glad I settled that. Good evening and welcome to Brian's Beat, the original show born at the apex of freedom, entrepreneurship, and nomadism. Lots of stuff on the agenda for 1 hour. Of course, you've been hearing throughout the day, or at least throughout the news, about this whole thing dealing with Admiral Bradley speaking to members of the intelligence and the armed services and a couple of other congressional committees. Apparently, there was no kill order. So it makes me think, well, if there was no kill order, then it kind of falls into the lap of a decorated admiral. Anyway, we'll get into that in just a bit. On this, the 4th day of December, the state of North Carolina ratified the 13th Amendment, you know, that one dealing with slavery. 13th Amendment to the Constitution, followed very soon after by Georgia. And for some reason, now, imagine this. Civil War is over. North Carolina and Georgia, they signed the 13th Amendment, which basically allowed them to come back into the Union and also give up slavery. And it still took a couple of weeks before those slaves in those two states were legally free. I guess word travels slowly. 1943, due to high levels of wartime employment, FDR got busy and shut down the Works Progress Administration, you know, the WPA. It took until 1943, and that's not really true. Because quite frankly, in 1942, things really started to ramp up. 1941, December, in fact, we're coming up on that anniversary next week of D-Day. We were still in a depression. The nation was still in a depression. In 1941, going into D-Day, that war, sad reality, that war got us out of the deep depression. I don't know how deep it was, but we were still in a depression in 1941. 1945, the U.S. Senate gave the thumbs up, and we became the hosting members of the United Nations. 1992, President Bush orders 28,000 U.S. troops to Somalia. So back then, the Somalis were playing pirates. Remember that? Hijacking boats, thinking that they could be all that. Well, they found out they could not be. The Brian's Beat quote of the day: the only place success comes before work is in the dictionary. The only place success comes before work is in the dictionary. That quote from Vince Lombardi. And I guess that's true. I mean, you could be successful winning the big lottery pool, but even at that, you have to work to go get the lottery ticket or work to convince somebody else to go buy that ticket for you. Just saying. All right. 508-996-0500. That's how you get onto the program today. New poll. There's always a poll. I guess pollsters get paid good money. They're working. They're successful. A new poll shows Massachusetts parents favor cell phone bans, cell phone crackdowns in schools. I had a caller several months ago who made a very astute point. And since then, I'm not stealing it because I let people know that she said it first, made perfectly good sense. Why, in this particular case, are schools in the business of punishing everybody for what one, two, half a dozen, two dozen students might be doing? And the point is, not every student is on their phone in the classroom. So why is it necessary to have what they call a bell-to-bell ban on cell phones? So that first bell of the day to that last bell when you're done, or maybe you can take it out during recess. I get the distraction part, and the caller was absolutely correct. If a student is disruptive with their phone in the classroom, you take the phone away at that time. You give that phone back at the end of the day. If it happens the second time, bye-bye phone. Bye-bye phone. This way, we're not punishing kids that aren't on the phone. I notice in the United States, we get into this habit. Well, we got to punish everybody because we don't know where that needle is in the haystack. And so we're just going to say all the hay, screw you. You're not going to have a phone in this particular case. Makes me wonder, you know, where are we going as a nation when we have to punish them all? In fact, taking you back to the 1750s, 1760s, 1770s. When the British kept on piling on these similar types of laws, didn't that lead to a revolution? Just saying. All right, so that's out there for you. Have you heard of U.S. Senator Bernie Moreno? Bernie Moreno is from Ohio. Ohio. And Bernie Moreno, he's got an interesting past. I guess when he was 5 years old, he came to the United States of America with his family, I believe from Colombia. When Bernie turned 18, he said it was a proud day when he became a U.S. citizen. And as you can see, he is now a U.S. senator. Bernie Moreno wants to make it illegal for people here in the United States who have a United States citizenship to have any other citizenship. Because according to him, and I'll read his quote and Where is it? Where's Bernie's quote? You'll pardon me. I'm looking for Bernie's quote. To preserve the integrity of national citizenship, allegiance to the United States must be undivided. That's according to language within the bill. Existing law allows certain U.S. citizens to maintain foreign citizenship, which may create conflicts of interest and divided loyalties. It is in the national interest of the United States to ensure that United States citizenship is held exclusively. Really? All of these years, and I'm going to say at least 200 years, we have allowed dual citizenship. Have there been some bad apples? Absolutely. Jonathan Pollard would be a classic example. I was reading this to a good friend of mine, a person I used to work with. And first thing that came to his mind when I told him about this bill, he goes, are they going to include Israel? And I said, it includes every nation. First of all, I'm not sure how constitutional Mr. Moreno's bill is. But before looking at the constitutionality, which I prefer to look at first, because I don't believe any bill should be presented unless it is constitutional. But that aside, I'm not sure that there's enough oomph from the Republicans, and certainly not from the Democrats, to ever pass a bill like this. But it's out there. And again, I come back. Is this the direction that we really want to be going in? Is this the right direction for the country? I don't think so. But anyway, listen to some of the things that will happen if this were ever enacted, ever found to be legal and constitutional. You would no longer be able to have dual citizenship. So what does that mean? It would give you 1 year to declare what you want to be. So imagine, and I would tend to believe that in our backyard, there are lots of people that have Cape Verdean and U.S. citizenship, Portuguese and U.S. citizenship, maybe Guatemalan and U.S. citizenship. In fact, aren't we many people, not we as in me collective, but we, the greater New Bedford area, hoping that a New Bedford police officer becomes a U.S. citizen? We're not, oh, I haven't heard anyway of anybody asking him to forego his current citizenship, which I believe would be Honduran. But imagine, you know, where does this senator get off trying to say who can and who cannot be a U.S. citizen? And to the point, if this were ever to become law, and you're a dual citizen, United States and Portugal, you're a dual citizen, you would have 1 year to make up your mind. Which one do you want to be, United States or Portugal? 1 year. Now, here's the kicker. If you don't make up your mind within that 1 year period, you would lose your U.S. citizenship. Now, I know that is against the law. I know constitutionally, citizenship cannot be stripped from a U.S. citizen. And yet, we get this guy who, when I was 18, I turned and I became a U.S. citizen. He's going to tell the rest of us, whether we were born here and went out and got another citizenship or came here and we have two citizenships. He's going to tell us what we can and cannot do. He's going to present a bill like this. Are you serious? This guy just got elected too, so there's another 5.5 years of his crap. You know, if he gets shot down this time, he'll probably present it again. By the way, the bill is called Exclusive Citizenship Act of 2025. So what do you think of it? Do you think Bernie Moreno is going down the right road? Or do you think that this is government overstep at its height? I don't know how you can't think it's government overstep. Overreach. Again, what's the fear? What's the fear? Are we trying to become more and more like a China or a former Soviet Union, some of the Soviet bloc countries where you got to do it our way or leave? Once again, you haven't done anything wrong. You have two citizenships, which many countries allow. And the United States is at the forefront. What about all of the people that left the United States and have citizenship in other countries, but also retain their U.S. citizenship? And in fact, you know, this guy's talking about dual citizenship. I know people that have 4 or 5 passports. In order to get a passport, you have to be a citizen of another country. So, in other words, they have citizenship in 4 or 5 countries. A guy that I follow frequently, one that I would always love to get onto this program, but he likes to hang low. He's got citizenship in the United States, Latvia, Estonia, and a couple of other places. And, you know, my guess is if that order came down, he would give up his U.S. citizenship. And why not? He's living a freer life. You know, the restrictions on some of these former Soviet bloc countries have really been loosened to the point that they at least have more personal freedom than you and I have here in the United States. If a law like this passes, that would mean that Melania, is that the wife? And Barron, the son, they've got dual citizenship. They would have to give up one or the other. I have no idea if she would or would not, if Barron's got to be close to 18 by now. I'm not sure if he would want the choice. Imagine that. 508-996-0500. Your thoughts. Hello.
Evening, Brian.
Good evening, Brian.
Am I mistaken? But I thought if you have, say, dual citizenship in Canada and the United States, can you vote in both countries, either or neither?
I can't speak for Canada. You can vote in the United States.
Doesn't affect your voting status. Okay. Understood. And then just a non sequitur, Brian. When the National Association of Broadcasters and this station pay for an ad promoting care for our veterans, and Seth Moulton enunciates his name and who he is and how he's for this. Is that kind of like a contribution in kind from his run for the U.S. Senate against Ed Markey?
So you're ahead of me there. I don't know. I don't even know the one that you're speaking about.
Yeah, it comes on a few times a day, and at the end, it's the NAB and this station. It's a public service announcement, but he gets his name on it.
And what are they talking about?
Care for our veterans.
Hmm.
And you know, it's a nice ad, and he doesn't say he's running for. He doesn't announce that he's Congressman Seth Moulton. You know, asking you to remember our veterans. I can't remember the full copy, but he's also running for U.S. Senate.
He is. So. But at this particular time, it doesn't matter. We're not in that zone where you have to worry about equal time.
No, just but a contribution in kind. It's a he's getting his name out there.
He is.
The public service.
And, yeah, I don't know. I I'm not trying to stick up for somebody that I know I'm not going to vote for down the road, but he may have offered his services for doing the public service announcement prior to announcing his run. But he would also, if not that, he would probably be running for Congress again, right?
Right. Yeah.
One
no,
or the
it's
other.
Interesting. It's interesting. I just it seems to me it is. An in-kind contribution to get the airtime like that. But, hey, that's just me.
Well, you know, if it's kind of bothering you and you brought it up, so I think that there's something clicking upstairs, that might be something you want to present to management.
Perhaps. But either that, Brian, or the thing that's clicking upstairs is something I'm trying to hide and really not expose to the general public.
What, would you expose it to the general manager off the air?
I would, or the FEC.
Yeah, but, you won't get anywhere with the FCC because there's nothing illegal
not
about what's going
FEC,
on.
The FEC, the Federal Elections Commission, FEC.
Yeah, it's same thing. There's nothing illegal about what's going on.
Right.
I mean, it's a public service announcement. B, he is a military veteran, so you would want a veteran talking about veterans-type issues. C, I don't hear anything from you anyway about campaign contributions, or there's nothing wrong. And as I said, the window for equal time does not come up until, let's see, September? So we're a long way away.
Oh, yeah. No, fair enough. I just, I'm suspicious of all politicians, so.
Oh, I know how you feel. Me too. I guess you could tell.
When at the end, he doesn't say, I approve this message. He still gets his name out there. Anyway.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. If he's saying, hi, I'm Congressman Seth Moulton, he's getting his name out there.
Yeah, that's all.
All right.
Hey, Brian, we're listening. Have a great night.
All right, I appreciate you. Thank you. Yeah, I guess you are, because that's one of those announcements, PSAs, that flew over my cuckoo's nest time. I'll try to listen for it next time. Although I have to know that it's coming up in order to listen for it. All right, 508-996-0500. Back to dual citizenship, and it was a great question that the previous caller asked. If you have dual citizenship, can you vote in both countries? The Canada and the United States are the countries that he mentioned. And I do believe the people with the most dual citizenship are United States and Canada. I think England, Great Britain, whatever, might be a close third. Mexico, you might get a number two out of. But I can speak for the United States. If you are a dual citizen, it's as if you are a lone citizen of the United States and you can vote in an election. I, you know, and I have no problem with that. If they've earned citizenship, they should be allowed to vote. Certainly they're being taxed. You know, even a green card holder is taxed. So you certainly want representation out of that taxation. What I don't like is this Senator Moreno trying to make it, you know, it's in our national interest. It is? Why? What is a dual citizen or a group? You know, we don't really know how many, anywhere from 500,000 up to maybe 5.5 million people have dual citizenship. One of the reasons we don't know is because our government doesn't really keep a record. I don't know if that means they should or should not. But if you are a U.S. citizen, you cannot have your citizenship stripped away from you. Never mind the fact that you might have a citizenship in another country. The thing being, we're not supposed to be like every country. We have those freedoms. They are embedded within the Constitution and Bill of Rights. And what do we have? A senator who I'll give him the benefit of a doubt. He's probably thinking, well, we don't want any more Jonathan Pollards out there. Yeah, I get it. But what we should do as a nation is hold the Jonathan Pollards. You know, if you've committed some type of treason, you should be behind bars and, you know, maybe the guard needs to swallow the key. But you punish the people who have done wrong by the country, stealing, murders. You punish the people. You don't punish the whole group. And this bill, I don't have a bill number, but the name of the bill is Exclusive Citizenship Act of 2025. It would require current dual citizens to renounce one of their citizenships or automatically lose their U.S. citizenship. Well, here's part of it. I guess you can't make them lose a citizenship from another country, but damn, you know, what is it with our lawmakers, whether it's local or national? Always looking to strip just a little piece of liberty, little piece of freedom away from the people. Especially those of us, the overwhelming majority of us, who haven't done a damn thing wrong. 508-996-0500.
This is called the fog of war. This is what you and the press don't understand.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
This is WBSM.
It's shake and bake, and I help.
You know, most people are not business owners, but just about everybody knows one. The dirty little secret is most owners don't qualify for a bank loan because they lack collateral. At legitimate business funders, owners can get up to $2 million in funding with no collateral, even with a low credit score. And they can get that funding in a couple of days. Find legitimate business funders online at legitimatebusinessfunders.com. Legitimatebusinessfunders.com.
Call 508-996-0500.
Back to Brian's Beat.
Didn't see any survivors, to be clear, after that first strike.
I did not personally see survivors, but I stand because the thing was on fire.
Admiral Bradley and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff did the right thing. Admiral Bradley defended the decisions taken and Admiral Bradley has a storied career, and he has my respect, and he should have the respect of all of us. But what I saw in that room was one of the most troubling things I've seen in my time in public service. You have two individuals in clear distress, without any means of locomotion, with a destroyed vessel, who were killed by the United States.
That's Congressman Jim Himes, H-I-M-E-S. He's from Connecticut, and I do believe he is a Democrat. He was one of the congresspeople that came out after a closed-door session today talking about the what they saw and heard. I sit here and I try to imagine what I would like to think is the unimaginable. And yet, as I say that, I watched some of the videos back when there was heavier fighting going on in Gaza. And I don't want to try to put these two together, but in respect, I would have to say you do have to put them together. You're talking about, you know, no matter whether or not drugs were being run by these people on the boat, it was obvious that the boat was destroyed. It was obvious that there were survivors. And as Rep. Hines has stated, it is obvious that the United States of America took out two people who were struggling for their life in the water. Now, say what you will, the representative, senators from both sides of the aisle, I guess all three because Bernie Sanders is an independent, all agree that this was a heinous act, should not have happened. So I think it's a matter now, who is going to shoulder the heavy burden here? Who is going to get the big blame? Is it going to be Pete Hegseth, the honorary Secretary of War? Or is it going to be the decorated Admiral? Mitch, Frank, I think is his real first name, Bradley. According to Bradley, this is what he stated, there was no kill order ordered. Now, I don't know if he is taking one for the team or if, in fact, there was none given. But I guess we should take the Admiral at it at face value. If there was none given until he gave it, then he is responsible. So what do we do about the Admiral? Can you imagine? I know the words that have been said about Admiral Bradley. Navy SEAL, all around good guy. Knows how to set up a mission and win. And it sounds like everything has gone pretty well for him. I mean, you don't make it up the chain the way that he did and have blemishes on your scorecard. But this is definitely going to be a blemish. And I think, considering the severity of what happened, this guy's going to have a court-martial. Whether you consider them civilians or not, the rules of engagement, wartime, and peacetime are very clear. The Department of Defense has a manual. You are not to engage people that are defenseless, whether they are drug runners or not. And yet, well, look, never mind how I feel about it. Let's hear from the congressman, and if you'd like to debate the issue, you're more than welcome to at 508-996-0500. This is Congressman Jim Himes, H-I-M-E-S, speaking after, to reporters, speaking after a session with Admiral Bradley.
Under the DoD manual for abiding by the laws of armed conflict, the specific example given of an impermissible action is attacking a shipwreck. Any American who sees the video that I saw will see the United States military attacking shipwrecked sailors. Bad guys, but attacking shipwrecked sailors. Now, there's a whole set of contextual items that the Admiral explained. Yes, they were carrying drugs. They were not in the position to continue their mission in any way. People will someday see this video, and they will see that that video shows, if you don't have the broader context, an attack on shipwrecked sailors.
I think he stated it very well. It doesn't matter whether or not they were carrying drugs. And it's my understanding that there was more than two hits, on the two on the boat and two on the people, which sounds like four to me. Again, I don't know if the Secretary of War was involved in more than the original hit. That's what he is talking about. I think that he needs to be replaced anyway, but in this particular case, the Admiral says that there was no, what do we call that? The double tap. So it sounds like it falls squarely on the Admiral's shoulders. He's the one that called for it. Yep, I think that he's gonna have to do a little time. And it's sad, because we shouldn't be going down this particular road anyway. But once again, we are. And again, I want to give the benefit of a doubt right now that there were drugs. Okay, I don't know, but I'm going to give the benefit of a doubt that there were drugs on that boat. The boat was destroyed. There were survivors. And instead of trying to help the survivors, instead of leaving them alone and hoping that they could either fend for themselves or someone else could come by and rescue them, no. Instead, more drone strikes were ordered. And people that were alive, hopeless in the water, got blown out of the water. Hello.
Greetings. Hey, I got a quote for you real quick before I get on to this topic. It is difficult to get a man to understand something when his salary depends on him not understanding it. By Upton Sinclair.
Hmm.
Now, what if these videos are like just taken from old Miami Vice episodes just to rile us up for regime change in Venezuela? Remember how Trump said no regime change? It's like Obi-Wan Kenobi in a Star Wars movie said there are no Epstein files, and his car goes, there are no Epstein files. It's like that Return of the Jedi episode. So he doesn't want to get involved in regime change. They were stupid. But they're crazy to put that Machado girl up in Venezuela to
that might be, but that you're I want to stick with where we are right now. Let's hope that there is no regime change, but if there is, we'll certainly bring her up. Hey, the Nobel Peace Prize winner. What else could you ask for?
Hey, you know, there's a company called Skydio that was using drones to bomb Gaza, and that company is running drones all over the USA right now. I just found out just the other day. So we're entering a new world, man. And the media doesn't tell us anything because it's like that clip that I told you. It's difficult to get the news to report anything when they're all controlled by the same hands to just propagandize us. Skydio, do some research. They were involved in supplying drones to bomb Gaza. Now this company is flying drones all over the U.S.
Where are they from?
Ship in the sky.
Are they from the United States?
California. They're from California. And they supplied. I get this other article where there's a lot of Israeli spies running cybersecurity for a lot of our government agencies. I've talked about that some other time.
All right. Well, thanks for the call.
Times, man.
I do appreciate. Yeah, no, I get you. There are definitely some rough times. Let us continue. Hello.
Brian, this Admiral Bradley can simply be pardoned by President Trump.
I guess he can be.
He may have made a deal with them. I wouldn't be surprised if there's cash exchanged underneath the table to take care of people. All kinds of questionable people can do things for Trump. If they get caught, he can pardon them. I don't know how the Constitution ever implemented that as a kingly power for a president to have, because it certainly can be abused.
Yeah, and you're talking about the admiral right now. He did the same thing for a former Democratic congressman. If you do something well for Trump, you get taken care of.
Including that drug dealer from Honduras. What's the deal under the table there?
To try to get somebody elected.
Yeah, and maybe more, because money is... Follow the money, they said during Watergate, and it's hard to do that now, but it's still a good advice.
Always follow the money. Hey, thank you.
Bye.
I do appreciate it. Let's get one more in. Hello.
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
Brian is.
You know, you don't live in Benjamin Franklin's America.
No, I guess not.
And, no,
and I don't wear his glasses either.
Benjamin Franklin said that a man between two lawyers is like a fish between two cats.
Did he really?
Have you heard that quote?
No, I haven't. That's good, though.
That's a good one. He was very good. Hey, you know something, Brian? This is a diversional tactic. And we have the biggest enemy of the United States is China. Now, when Trump went to Japan, he said that she was a good leader of a big country. But yeah, we got the China is doing military training in Mexico and in Canada, and they're beefing up their naval their naval forces, and they're doing naval training out there in the Pacific. We're being lied to. We're focusing on one little boat when our biggest enemy is China, and nobody seems to do anything or say anything. And that idiot, a congressman from Connecticut, Hines, he's an imbecile.
Why do you say that?
So is Mark Warner, the former governor of Virginia, the one of the worst governors they had in Virginia, and all of the other bums.
So why are they imbeciles?
Because they're trying to rattle the cage. It's all politics. They have, like the previous caller said, not this one before. They're trying to divide us and conquer. They want you to go into groups, either on the radical right or the radical left. And to them, you've got to pick so they can divide the country. And that's why a lot of people's brains are turning to mush. 24/7, you're watching these videos. How do we know if these videos are even real? It could be fabricated.
That's fair, but if they're fabricated, do you think that the congressman and Senator Warner, they're in on the fabrication?
Who knows what's going on?
But well, I mean, if you're calling them an imbecile,
who knows? I don't know.
If you don't know, why would you call him an imbecile?
Who's that? The congressman from Connecticut?
Yes.
He's a liar.
What did he lie about?
He's trying to badmouth the admiral that the orders are coming from him. Doesn't he see that the orders come from above, from the War Department?
I think.
How stupid is this guy?
If you listen to his conversation, he said the admiral said, you know, so he's repeating what the admiral said, or at least telling us that is what the admiral said. He's not making anything up.
It comes from the chain of command. But what I'm saying is, here we're relying on two idiots selling dope on a boat, where you got China, your biggest enemy, in the back door doing training to your neighbor to the north, which is in Canada and Mexico. They're buying up all the mines. They're basically giving all the money to Latin America so they can rebuild in India. They're getting so much influence. And then they're doing naval exercises in the Pacific. And we're talking about two idiots.
All right.
They're working for Maduro, selling dope.
I got you, man. I appreciate it. Have yourself a great evening. Good night.
The last thing I'm going to say is that the admiral confirmed that there had not been a kill them all order, and that there was not an order to grant no quarter.
WBSM.
I can't answer your call right now, but it is important to me.
That won't happen at Low Cost Air. When you dial 800-221-6085, a real person answers and helps you find your best airfares, foreign and domestic. Your choice. Automation.
Please leave a message with your name and number.
Or a real person. Low Cost Air, 800-221-6085. Low Cost Air, 800-221-6085.
Back to Brian's Beat.
Secretary Hegseth is responsible for all of these strikes because he's responsible for the campaign and for the rules of engagement and for how it's being carried out.
Well, the blame game continues. You can blame me. Tim's going to be back at 6 tomorrow morning. Chris at 9. Barry a little bit later at